Thank you. Why don't we all kneel for prayer? Kind Heavenly Father, I just pause before you in your presence here this morning. I just thank you for gathering us together. Lord, your hand has been upon us in a mighty way. Lord, I ask you to be with the Lawnaker family and the ones that are struggling, and Josh and Sue Ann. Lord, would you be with them in their situation, Lord? Lord, right now I just ask to come down and touch us here, Lord, that Satan wouldn't have any part here, Lord. That just ask in the name of Jesus that he would leave. You would come and fill me with your spirit. Lord, just help me to speak what you want me to speak. I'm here to offer it to you, Lord. Just help us to understand what you have for us today. And take root in our lives here. Just be with us. And bless everyone for coming. In the name, Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, I have been meditating about this message for a while already. Do I have it down pat? No. It's not going to be perfect, but hopefully we can get something out of it. It's about non-resistance. What does resist mean? To act against, to oppose, strive against, keep from. What about protecting our possessions? How do we go about to protect our possessions, or do we? In the last 10 years since we moved down here, I don't want to discourage anybody from moving in this area, but it's different. You might not run into this in Holmes County as much, but people are, the gun is very handy. The gun's pretty close. Is it behind their seat in the car, or is it in their pocket? And I must say that's resisting others, protecting what I have. Are we willing to give it all, to give everything away? I mean, we get along good with our neighbors. I mean, we're friends, but I know what they believe. Uh, one of their vehicles, there's a bumper sticker that says, it's better, there's a picture of a gun, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. We were working for a lady, an old lady, here about a month ago. She had a picture of a gun on her door, garage door. Don't call 911, call 357. It's a 357 revolver. But anyway, I didn't really get, when I went into the dictionary, the well, the opposite of resistant is non-resistant. So what happens if we're non-resistant? But I think, and am persuaded, that we can, as members of one body and in Christ, show our love, show His love, what He had for us, to our neighbors. They need Him just as much as we need Him. Matthew 5. Verse 7. Just going to jump in here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. How can we be the children of God if we want to hurt somebody? Or if we're always fighting against each other, how can we be the children of God? Here it calls us the children of God if we're peacemakers. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. How can we be the salt if we don't share the gospel? We can show it, but there's something about speaking it into people's lives in love. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let the light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am come to destroy, but not come to destroy, but to fulfill. I think I'm going to stop there. Okay, going to jump down to verse 21. Ye have heard that it has been said. Well, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. You know, there what inspired me, I mean, it's not just you have heard that it has been said of old time, thou shalt not kill. It's not just killing. If we hate our brother, it is, what I get out of there, just as bad. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way first, and be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. This next verse has stuck out to me for the last 10 years. It's not really killing about killing my story, but agree with thine adversary quickly whilst thou art in the way with him. Well, maybe if somebody would threaten us, we would want to agree with him quickly. But this can be in other ways too. Just like it says here, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and that thou be cast into prison. Well, I'll just share it. Quite a few years ago, about 10 years ago, I owed a guy $5,000, a salesman. They had a conference that we used to go every winter, and I felt like he talked me into whatever. But I was responsible. You know, I bought a pallet full of stuff, minerals, whatever it was, and other minerals, and we were good friends, and you know, I talked with him, and I told him I'm struggling to pay his bill, and you know, this thing looked huge to me, and and he said, well, just pay me $100 a month. You know, he was good to work with. And I couldn't even do that. One morning, we were out in the barn doing chores. And here he comes with his new truck coming in our driveway. And, all right, Mr. David, if you don't pay this bill, I'm going to throw you in court. I mean, he was serious. And I knew if I don't agree with my adversary quickly, it's going to happen. And I didn't want to go to court. So I agreed with him. You know, I confessed my wrong to him. I told him sorry. You know, sometimes sorry doesn't mean anything anymore, right? That doesn't, I mean, like to a cop. I've been pulled over a couple times, or one time here last couple months. Sorry to someone doesn't mean a whole lot. Sometimes. But, or it doesn't feel like it. But anyway, I was in fault. He had a right to take me to court. He had patience with me. But, yeah. So he asked me if, you know, he said, I would recommend you to go to your church and ask them for help. So I did. That was when we were in the Amish church. But doesn't matter. Anyway, that taught me a valuable lesson. And that verse has always stuck out to me. So we got him paid. He was happy. And we get along. Yes, I wouldn't do that to, wouldn't want to do that to somebody that owes me money. In fact, I have a guy that owes me money right now. It's only $1,400. But maybe you can pray for me that I can, I would like to write him a letter. I would like to forgive him that debt. But his soul needs Jesus. Because I had bought something from him, and he told me, you know, nobody's ever complained or whatever, been always happy with this product, and okay, fine, and I'll make it right, whatever, if there's something wrong. It was a bale feeder. A huge steel welded bale feeder. And well, you can't just, you'd have to tear the whole thing apart and put it back together. The holes were way too big. You know, they needed to be narrower for the cows to keep, put their head in. Every time they were standing there eating, their pole hit the bar. It was way too low. It was made for feeder cattle. And the bars were way too wide, so there's only, you know, maybe half the cows that could get there to the feeder because of the spacing. Anyway, I called him a lot of times, and he always had this excuse, you know, truck's breaking down, and he can't come out, and he'll make it right, and anyway. Finally, about a year later, I got tired of it. Well, it was in July when that happened. I finally felt like I need to take this thing back, drop it off, whatever. And I felt like the Lord wanted me to take it down and drop it off. So I went. And, wow, time is going on. Anyway, bunny trails. I dropped it off and he got very angry with me for bringing that thing down there. And he cussed me out to no end. That's why I say that that man needs Jesus. And I'd rather have him to be saved than my money. I'm not kidding. Where am I going? Okay, Revelations 13, verse 10. Oh, wow. Got a different Bible and it's hard to get to. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword, that's with first part of the, in Matthew, what we were reading. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. He is the patience of the faith of the saints. Oh, wait a minute. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That just kind of struck me that, if I would be carrying a gun or a knife or whatever, and I would kill somebody, I mean, that's kind of what I get out of it. That would mean I would have to be put to death that way too. Now, there's time for testimony afterward, and Matthew 5:38. Let's go back to Matthew. What is it? 5, verse 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Here's another little story about a neighbor, a very good friend of ours. He hauled us around, and I had a talk with him with non-resistance, and he could not see into this. He's a Baptist, and that's our neighborhood, a Baptist belief, and, you carry your gun and whatever, but okay. So I told him about this. Well, he said, well, no, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Well, yeah, it says that in the Old Testament. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn the other also. And, you know, people can't see that, especially those that, there's another subject on, there are two kingdoms on this earth, and there's a lot of people that don't understand that. There's a heavenly kingdom and an earthly kingdom. So in 1 Timothy 5:8, he brought that verse out. Well, what does it say? Doesn't take care of his own house is worse than an infidel? Well, that's not what that's saying. If we don't take care of our children, our widows, then that's what I get out of it. He's worse than an infidel. Let's read on to 48. And if any man will sue thee at law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. That was another verse that a brother in Wahanding shared with me about this guy that, you know, wanted his money back. And that really stood out to me. And whosoever shall compel thee to go 1 mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. I had to think of that a lot the last while. You know, we had a rainy spell there, and it doesn't matter, you know. If we have hay down, it can rain, and it's okay. It's just an earthly thing, but we need to respond in a right way, in a non-resistant way. You know, there's so many things about non-resistance that it's not just about fighting. It's not just about not going to war. I used to think it's just that's what it is. We don't go to war. Well, there's so many things that we today come up against or whatever, or that, I mean, how do we talk to our brothers and sisters, or, you know, in the home, our families, our, you know, if a brother here in church offends us, how do we respond? Are we broken before each other? Can we go the extra mile for each other? Help us, dear Lord. Now I lost my place. Okay. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? What is a publican? Is it a tax collector? And if ye salute your brethren only, if we just, you know, we come to church and we're all this shiny person, and how far is that going to go? But we go home and we're this ungodly, horrible dad or whatever. It's going to show up in our family. And if ye salute, yeah. And I'll just read again. And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's something we can strive towards, is to be perfect in our Lord and Savior. Live for him. Let's go to Romans 12. Are we willing to lay our life down? To be that living sacrifice. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, I think you all understand that, many members one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one member one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Distributing to necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That's one thing we could do better, is to invite more of you. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men, not just the brothers here at church, or if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. There's another verse that sticks out to me. I'll just leave it. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. There's a verse. I will repay, saith the Lord. Talking about resistant, being non-resistant. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. Man, this strikes me. I'm very sorry. So person, we were in Newark, the little town of Newark, and I might have shared this with one of you or some of you, but we got to work, and there in the parking lot lay a man sleeping. Had a drink there beside him. It looked like a fountain drink. I don't know what it was, but he was kind of in a distance, but I have regretted that moment not to take the time to go over. We didn't know what to do, but I wish we would have just went over the crew and just stood around him and started singing. We have so many opportunities, but we're too busy, are we? I know I am. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. You know, he might have been lost. He might have been drunk. He might have been on drugs. But the man needed a savior. I'm pretty sure. For feed him, if he thirsts, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. I'll just, in Matthew 26, you remember, this is verse 26, verse 50 to 52. Maybe I'll just turn. Well, it's the account where Peter and Jesus were, and they were trying to capture Jesus or something, and this man, Peter, I think it was, went and chopped the man's ear off. And I'll just go there. Matthew 26. Verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus, and just before he was crucified, and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then Jesus said unto him, put up again thy sword. Into his place was Peter protecting Jesus. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. We were just here lately as a church here, we were at the Bible Museum, and they showed a scene there of Jesus being whipped, and he had stripes on his back, and they had a man with a whip, and then they had a sound that you know, with Jesus taking the blow. And I mean, that just gave me goosebumps. Would I be willing? Jesus didn't do anything to deserve this, but he was willing to die for us and take the blows for me and you. But here today, we're struggling with our little pity little problems and getting offended when a brother says something and they mocked him, they spit in his face, and Jesus was a perfect example for us to be non-resistance. He could have. Even the thief on the cross said, or one of them said, what did they say? Or the one of them said, save us. He said that one you could save us. If you're the son of, yeah, save yourself and us. If you're the son of God, save yourself and us. And what did the other guy say? Yeah, think of me when I'm in your, and think of me when you get to paradise. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. There were two different hearts there. This one guy saw that he didn't deserve what he was getting. And he had compassion on him. Luke 6, verse 28. Boy, I have a hard time paging. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. There's that verse again. And unto him that smiteth thee on the right, on the one cheek, turn the other also. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would have men do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? There's I wish I could have explained more on the two kingdoms. I was really trying to get the depth of the two kingdoms, an earthly kingdom and a heavenly kingdom. Okay, John 18, verse 36. My kingdom is not of this world. You know, that's what Jesus was. He was looking ahead to the future. He knew his kingdom wasn't of this world. He knew where he was going. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be. This is a verse that was in my mind all week. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Daniel 44. It was, well, that can't be right. Daniel 2, verse 34. This is the story that about the king that had a dream, and they brought Daniel in, and he interpreted the dream, is the way I took it. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to the other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Amen. We have a heavenly kingdom that will stand forever. But yet there are people all around us that get their earthly things mixed up. And they think they can still protect what they have, shoot somebody, go to church, you know, or have that mindset that they're allowed. I am very thankful for our heritage. That is another thing. Where we came from, where we grew up, every one of us. I don't know the home life you had, but mine wasn't all that great, but it wasn't all that bad. I mean, the Lord could have, I could have grew up out in the streets, like those people in New York or Newark. Those two words are almost alike, but anyway, there's homeless down there and they live in tents, and it's not that far away from us. And maybe we need to go down and just make a point and go down and minister to them someday. take time, just as well as we can go to another state, Hebrews 1, verse 8 says, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. You know, we, I don't know. I mean, we can... I think where we grew up, you know, we can still see some positive, a lot of positive, very, how could you say, help me out, Wayne, or somebody, practical values that we can cherish. There's a lot of things that we can cherish from our homes that we come, where we come from, and that they took us to church, even though we didn't understand. But I don't think that, or we shouldn't. I mean, that we could reject everything. And I think that is resisting. I know it is. I mean, I think you know where I'm going with that. So, maybe a little bit on, like even today, one thing I wanted to share is obeying. Well, you know, even if the law, even if it's legal to get a divorce or to... I mean, there's a lot of laws that aren't according to the Bible, that don't line up with the Bible, but we are still called to obey the laws of the land. If we get pulled over because we were speeding, we're called to obey the traffic laws and to obey our governing authorities. That's another verse I could not find this morning in desperation. In the last minute, I couldn't find that. Maybe one of you knows, can bring that out here later on, or if you think of it now. Okay, on obeying, like, I have just a little bit of a struggle with one of my coworkers. I'm just going to be honest with you. Most of the time, he's just fine. We have a good time and whatever. But he used to be a foreman on another crew on a different, he had his own business. It seems like just every once in a while, we kind of just, I don't know, we hit. Not bad, but still, I just want to resist them for some silly reason. And I'm still called, you know, even though he's not the foreman. The foreman is maybe, he's up on the roof and we're down there and preparing stuff to get up on the roof and feels sometimes like if he messes up, then I see it, and then I figure out a different way to do it, and then I share it with him, and whatever. I feel like he rejects my ideas, but anyway, that's okay. I'm still called to obey him because I'm down here, you know. I was the last one on the crew, or second to last, and he's way up here. That's okay. I mean, I still need to respect him. He's living, trying to live a Christian life just like I am. And if we struggle with some of those things, I think it has to do with me a lot of times too. It's not just the other person. Did anybody find that verse? Romans 2:13. Romans 13, being subject to higher powers. And what was yours?
1 Peter 2:13 talks about submitting ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be for the king as supreme or the government, and the Senate body.
First Peter 2:13. Say that again. 1 Peter 2:13. So, I feel like I'm wasting a lot of time here. I think I'll use my other Bible the next time. This thing just doesn't page like my normal Bible. Yeah. Now I'm in 2 Peter. Submit yourself, yes, to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto, thank you, Wayne, that... that makes sense. Or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. So is the will of God that with well-doing ye may be put to silence in ignorance of foolish men. Okay, so... I need to bring this to a close. Maybe Matthew, let's go to Matthew 7, verse 24 to 27. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So, I think I'm going to leave it with that, and then if somebody wants to share more what you were inspired with, or if I, make it right if something was shared that wasn't according to the Bible. Lord bless you.